Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Welcome, everyone, to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with Carla Winchester in studio. Carla, welcome.
Thanks, Tim. Glad to be here.
I had the opportunity to talk to one of those clients who comes to our events, and he's quite involved in economic development. His community is growing at a rapid pace, and I'm talking about none other than Greg Wathen. He's the president and chief executive officer of the Southwest Indiana Economic Development Coalition. This group has brought over $2.8 billion in investment, 3,500 new jobs, and almost $75 million in state and federal grants for the region. Now, the reason I read that is because Greg's role is to bring all of these different groups together who are concerned about economic development and jobs and figure out a way for them to have a true partnership representing Southwest Indiana. And I will tell you that Greg and his leadership have done just that. They've created a partnership. They are marketing their community together. They're solving their toughest problems together. And you're going to hear from this interview with him, his passion and expertise come right through your speakers. So, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and let's hear from another one of our greats, Greg Wathen. Greg, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy you're here today, and congratulations on being named one of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Thanks, Tim. It really is an honor, and it's more of a reflection of the effort of our team, more so than just one individual, but it's certainly something that's an honor to be named as such.
Absolutely. And I'd expect nothing less from a leader like you. I really am a fan of your work and look forward to this conversation big time. Well, let's dive right in, Greg. Every leader I talk to has an interesting story about how they got into economic development. I'm certain yours is not much different in terms of being found by the industry. Tell us about how you got in and what was going on in your life at the time.
Well, actually, I was working in Louisville, Kentucky. I was working for a large public relations and advertising firm on the public relations side, and we were employee-owned, and I actually came over there to be in the side of healthcare and banking, financial services, and a couple of our clients were in the state of Kentucky. We had done some work for them, and then a regional economic development group that still exists in eastern Kentucky, and that's how we got into it, and actually how I got into it as a profession was Louisville, Kentucky, at that time was creating a brand new economic development organization called the Economic Development Partnership. And I went over and made a pitch to them to handle their strategic marketing and public relations. And the next thing you know, they offered me a job full time. And that's how I got into it full time about 1986, 87.
Wow. You've seen a lot of changes in the business. I'm going to be asking you about those changes in just a moment, but let's stay right there. You came from public relations. What elements of that work and that expertise serve you well in economic development, and how has that transferred for you?
Well, I think they've served me well. I've always felt that economic development is really marketing and strategic marketing and public relations. Most people, when they think of public relations, they think it's media relations, and it really isn't. It's really planning. And from that standpoint, I think it's served us well. It's understanding in terms of the elements of marketing and how that relates to what we do in economic development. So from my standpoint, we've sort of been ahead of the curve as we've looked at it. You know, economic development traditionally has been very transactional. You sort of move from one transaction to the next. But if you look at it strategically, it's more transformational, and it has to do with how do you achieve a certain vision and what does it take to achieve that vision as it relates to your goals and objectives and tactics. And that's kind of how I've approached economic development wherever I've been. And I think it's served not only the community, but the organization as well.
No question about it. You've watched many changes in this industry. But when you think about the way you build a team today, with the way you engage with people, the types of talent and partnership you're looking for today, how is it different today than it was when you started in the 80s? When you think about what is required in the human being to get a deal done, what are you looking for that's different?
Well, not only the human beings in terms of what skill sets you want, but the organizations. When I started in Louisville, our organization, we had 10 people, and all we did was new business attraction. We weren't even involved in retention. And so now I'm in an organization that's regional, as you're addressing economic development from a regional basis, but we not only work in economic development, we work in community development. And we are helping as a regional planning organization. And so it's the blending of disciplines. It's looking at the bigger picture. And so when you look specifically at skill sets, you need somebody who is, has the capability of being flexible and adaptable. But also, we may be heavily involved in certain kind of aspects of marketing skills. We might have somebody who's more of a planner be part of our team. So it's the blending of the organization and all the various skills that you want based upon what is required for that particular community. Because your strategy will change whether you're in a Kalamazoo or if you're in Omaha, might be different than if you're here in Southwest Indiana.
There's no question about it. Let's go further on that, because there's a lot of organizations who are dealing with this kind of generational shift and the shift in the marketplace. We know we need different types of talents, but we haven't necessarily built the cultures that are welcoming. How do you build a culture and maintain a culture in your organization where people with different skill sets, different backgrounds, different strengths can all bring those fully to help make sure that jobs and investments are made in your community? Because that's a tough thing to do. Tell us about your culture.
Well, it really starts from leadership up top in terms of our board. We have a very diverse board. We have a 4-county region, and we have a board that's 70 members. So take, for example, myself. I'm a voting member of the board in my position, but I'm also a voting member of the executive committee. So just that very slight change there. In many cases, many organizations, you have a separate board, and then you have the leadership that sort of drives the organization, may or may not be a voting member. And so I think that changes the dynamic of the discussion. And in particular, we look at team members who are self-starters, realizing that you have a very limited amount of resources. Typically, most organizations like ours are relatively small. And so you have to have people who have a varying set of skills, but also who have the ability to be self-starters. We set out very clearly, here's what we want to achieve, and here are the goals and objectives for the organization, but as the community that we want to drive. And everything you do has to relate back to this, and if it doesn't, we don't do it. So I will tell you, as our organization, we get approached by many different individuals and other entities throughout our community and our region asking us to get involved in something. And if it doesn't fit our core mission, we don't do it. Because I think one of the real failures of organizations like ours is called mission creep. Somebody sees that you have some success somewhere, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I'll take that on, without having the requisite skill sets or having the resources in order to accomplish it. And then all of a sudden you find yourself trying to do 50 things rather than doing the 2 or 3 things you really do well and that you should focus on for the benefit of your community.
No question about it. It's mirrored in how we see people getting promoted in our companies that we help and serve, right? That a person was a great engineer, so we move them up to a people manager where they're not doing engineering anymore.
Sure, right? Absolutely.
And it's mission creep. It's strength creep. No question about it. So let's think about the industry. Let's move now from kind of your organization and the culture and leadership you've built to our industry as a whole. When we think forward, lots of people are talking about 2020 or 2025, right? That's kind of one of those magic numbers that people have planned to and work backwards from. When you think about the relevant, successful economic developers in 2025, what will they have in common?
Well, I think that they'll approach problems and challenges from a regional basis. I honestly believe that regardless if you're working in a neighborhood or if you're working as a countywide or a city organization, if an issue is occurring in your area, it's occurring across your entire labor shed and across your market. So I think we're going to look for more collaborations. I also think you have to become more creative with the limited amount of resources that you may or may not possess. There's more and more pressure being placed upon nonprofit organizations that are in economic development, but communities in general. How do you fund whatever it is you're going to try to achieve and accomplish? So I think you have to be much more creative in being able to manage those dollars and manage that function. But, you know, it's one of those things where if you don't address these challenges as a region, and if you don't figure out a way of how are you going to sustain the effort, then I think you're going to find yourself still stuck in that whole transactional process, which I'm not sure that's where we are today. You know, it's great to win a project, but the reality is if you don't know what it's connected to and you don't know if winning that project, how it really benefits the community, then you probably haven't looked at it from the right set of glasses.
And that still happens in communities all over the United States, as you know. If you were given the magic wand or the crystal ball and you could change the way we do economic development in America, like if you were in charge, we said, Greg, it's up to you. how economic development is going to go in the future, what are the two things you would immediately change? Or what changes would you make immediately to the way we do business as industry?
Well, it's still a people business, but I would probably be more reliant upon certain types of analytics and metrics, which leads itself to becoming more accountable. There's nothing wrong with being accountable. It's not like somebody's trying to put you on the spot.
Right.
But if you have the right analytics, if you have the right metrics that you're looking at for the community, it's a roadmap to where you need to be. So I would think there'd be more reliance upon that as a region, as a country. And we inevitably keep trying to do the exact same things over and over again and just expecting, as they say, that whole definition of insanity, that there's going to be a different outcome. And I think we have to take a hard look at economic development, and it has to be more than just during an election cycle and talking about jobs. And
yeah.
In particular, you hear this during this election cycle because we have a presidential election cycle, and no one really talks about strategy of how you're going to achieve any of this. It's all about, we're just going to get you better jobs and better paying jobs and more of those jobs. Well, how is that going to occur? And is that really what our focus should be on? You know, I've always been a firm believer, if your region and the people within the region is a place that people want to live, is a place they want to work, if they possess the kind of skills that somebody wants to purchase, then they're going to invest in your community. If they don't, then you have other fundamental problems that you need to address.
I think you're spot on. As we look at our industry, we also know, and you and I have had this conversation offline, about the bench in economic development and building the bench in our industry. Why would a millennial, a next generation worker, or someone who's already established in their career, why would you want to come over and work in economic development? Pitch to that next generation why this work is attractive, why it's relevant and a good career to have.
Well, I think for millennials in particular, they are much more sensitive to how a community looks, how a community feels, and being engaged and involved. I think in economic development is that one person can change a neighborhood, one person can change a community, and they can change a region. And you have the ability in economic development to do that very thing. You rarely have that ability within a corporate structure to really be involved in that kind of transformational change. And I think if you're with the right economic development organization, you certainly have that ability. And for millennials, that just appears to be something that they're much more in tune to than, let's say, as I came up through the ranks. My background was public relations, public affairs, and marketing. And I really didn't know much about economic development. And if you looked in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, economic development in many cases was driven by banks, large utilities, and sometimes you had communities that were enlightened. But particularly in Indiana, you saw this big change happen in about the mid-80s, where you saw more local economic development organizations being created. But I think really for young people, for people who are looking at this as a profession, you can use your skill sets to affect change. You have the opportunity to affect change. You can't always do that in some of your corporate environments.
You can't do that work in the corporate environments. And it is one of the main reasons that I love this business so much is the opportunity for impact, right? What you do with it is up to you, but you can't say you don't have an opportunity every day to change lives and help people for the long run. Greg, I tell you what, man, I appreciate you coming on the podcast today. You've given us some great insights, not only into culture in the future, but into leadership in our industry. I applaud you on the work you're doing. I applaud you on your leadership. And of course, congratulations on being named
one
of our top 50. You're it. And I'm glad you could be along today. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please tweet me at Ron Kitchens.